Hi, and thank you for joining us on today's episode of Retro Gaming Dads. Now today it's going to be a little bit of a different format as we're actually doing our first Retro Game Club, where we play through some older games that we choose each month and then go through our feedback on how we found the game. So this month we've been playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night, chosen by myself. You'll notice there's no Anthony with us today, but sadly he couldn't make it. So we'll be going through how we found the game and discussing that.
Hopefully not having any Anthony mean it should be, one, a quieter podcast, and two, a lot shorter than normal.
Well, certainly less rambly at times.
Absolutely.
So, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Now, I will admit this was my pick, and it is one of my desert island discs, if you will, where if you was trapped on a desert island, where you'd pick X amount of things that you would take with you, if anyone doesn't know what that is. I love Castlevania Symphony of the Night, so I picked that one first off. How did you find playing through it?
I found it enjoyable and extremely frustrating at the same time.
Well, it can be a frustrating game, certainly at parts, and certainly if you don't quite remember everything, because it doesn't hold your hand, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. One of the, should we say, mistakes I might have done, I decided straight off the bat, run through the game as Richter first. What wasn't a good idea?
No.
Unlike the main character, Alucard, Richter, he can't level up, he can't get more powerful as you play, and I just couldn't remember where I needed to go.
He does get brilliant sub-weapons, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The fact that you can use sub-weapon as, like, a normal, like, for example, the knife, he can either throw one knife, or he can just fire a flurry of them at the enemies. And that's probably the worst sub-weapon as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a teenager, I was obsessed with that sub-weapon because it was brilliant. You throw a million knives.
Yeah, he's like a Gatling gun going off.
Yeah, exactly. And As an older gamer playing through it again, I realised just how powerful Holy Rain was.
Oh yeah, that got me through most of the bosses once I realised that.
Well, it was one of the achievements that I've not actually got on the 360 version was complete it as Richter. So with you saying that you was going through it as him, I thought, you know what, I'm actually going to do that.
Well, I'll be honest, that's actually why I chose Richter, because it was the only outstanding achievement that I still had.
At some point, I need to figure a way of glitching through the map just to get my glitched map achievement.
Oh, no. Surprisingly, I'd already got that achievement. So for those that don't know, and bear in mind, there's going to be a lot of spoilers for the game in this podcast. So if you haven't gone out and you haven't played Symphony of the Night, definitely recommend that you play it. Would you, Phil?
Oh, absolutely. Well, obviously, after saying that it's one of my all-time favourite games, yes, I can suggest going out and playing it.
Well, it's definitely worth it. So for those that don't know, Symphony of the Night, it's probably one of the first modern Metroidvania style Castlevania games, weren't it?
Now, you see, here's an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, yes, you're right. Here's an interesting question, though. Can you call a Castlevania game a... It is obviously a Metroidvania, the clue's in the name. But shouldn't that be given the fact that it's called Castlevania and it is one of the staples of the genre it is named after?
Well, not necessarily, because I wouldn't say like the original Castlevania was a Metroidvania. Because don't forget, it only makes up half the name. The other half comes from Metroid, which has a lot more backtracking to it.
That's true. And the later Castlevanias, starting with Castlevania of the Night particularly, included a lot of that backtracking and exploration.
Yeah, and more of an RPG focus where you level up, get new equipment, acquire new skills. But it was one of the first games that I remember playing where, like, you'd be towards the end of the game and you'd unlock a new skill, like, for example, the gravity boots. Yeah. And then you'd be able to backtrack towards the beginning of the game and get up some passages that you wouldn't necessarily have been able to earlier in the game or without that particular skill.
Yeah, well, see, having played through it so many times, I kind of went in a very almost speedrunner style-esque. So I went, right, here's where I first need to go here. Once I've got this, I need to go here. Once I've got here, I've got this. So I completed it through it fairly quickly. But yeah, that when you first go through it and you first pick up an item and then you realise that, oh, if I go back to here, there's something I couldn't get to before. Wonder what's there.
So yeah, like when you unlock the ability to transform into a mist and the game doesn't really hold your hand, but not in a way that a modern game will. So you won't collect the mist form, it goes, oh, press square to turn into a mist to move through barriers. It'll put you in a situation where you get the mist and then you have a grate in front of you that you can transform into mist and escape through. So it's very organic the way it teaches you how to use skills. But once you've done that, you think, hang on a minute, I remember seeing a grate just like that back at this other location.
Absolutely. You've got to go back there and then you realize you get something else that helps you somewhere else. And
yeah.
Although big spoilers here, so anybody who's not played it, big spoilers. I remember when I first played through it and thought I had completed it. Got to the end, beat the boss. Like, this seems a bit short. I mean, you know, I've got to the boss fairly quickly here. Right, enjoyable game and all. And the ending just didn't seem complete, didn't seem right.
Well, just before you go into the spoiler, in all fairness, if you think about the other Castlevanias that came before this, like Castlevania Bloodlines on the Mega Drive or Super Castlevania, were probably only talking about 2-3 hour long game with anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, you also didn't really have save points either. They were They were more designed to be a run playthrough of a single run rather than a sprawling RPG like Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when I beat this last boss, and I thought, this feels a little bit underwhelming. I mean, you know, we've gone in, we've gone into Dracula's castle. Sure, we fought Dracula at the very beginning, but it's a bit of an anticlimax. Yeah, not the real ending.
I must admit, without saying what that boss is, I accidentally got up to it and I thought, oh, can't be bothered backtracking. I'm sure if I beat him, it'll give me the option to save. Oh my God. I got absolutely handed by the boss. I just could not hit him for the life of me.
Oh, he's a tough boss.
No, I mean, I literally did not hit him once. I dealt no damage to him. Every single hit, it would just say guard, and he would take no damage. And every time I used a spell, he just used one of his skills, which would make him invincible while he was performing the skill. I got absolutely annihilated by him.
It's been talking PlayStation days when I actually last fought him and beat him without the item that you need, progressing it properly to get the ending.
Yeah. Well, I accidentally stumbled onto him before I had the item that I needed. And I thought I'd just fight him because I was thinking, I'm sure it'll give me the option to save after beating him and then I can just carry on through. But yeah, I got he absolutely wiped the floor with me. I just could not touch him.
I might have to go back and fight him early and see what happens.
Yeah, I might have just been really unlucky that particular time, but yeah, nothing I did would hit him.
So when I was playing through, though, I decided, since I've played through many a times, I put in... this when you've completed it, you can change the name of the character on your save to get different starts. So if you say, put in Richter, you play through as Richter, as we were talking about before.
Yeah, and if you put Elon Musk's son's name into the game...
Yeah, you get actually to play with like a challenge mode.
which, again, that was my second mistake, that after playing through as Richter, I decided to have a go with that, where what does it do? It sets your luck to maximum and all your stats to 1, is that correct?
Yep, that's the one, and you start off with... Now, bear in mind, when you first start... Now, another actual... bit nipper here, depending on how well you did and what you did against Dracula as Richter, affects your starting characteristics in a normal playthrough.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you say beat him without using your sub weapon, you'll get bonus stats. If you got beat, you'll start off with a potion. If you went in with maximum hearts, you'll start off with a neutron bomb as a la carte. So if you don't get hit, you get +5 to all stats. So basically how you beat Dracula as Richter actually affects how you start. Though a general normal playthrough, you'll probably have about 75 to 80 hit points as Alucard, which is all right. It takes you through this first part of the game. Most enemies are doing a single digits to double digits damage, so you're generally fine. With that code, you start off with 25.
Oh, yeah. And even worse than that is you're doing 1 damage to most of the enemies.
Oh, magic carries you through the early part of that game. Something
in all
ironic.
Fairness, last time I completed the game, I probably didn't use magic at all. And this one, it's it was heavily leaned upon to get me through practically everything in the game.
I mean,
especially the Soul Steal spell later on.
Brilliant spell.
So, some of the bosses, that's the only way I survived.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I mean, Tetra Spirit is generally my go-to spell in most situations on that particular type of run. Until you've got enough equipment and levels to rely on weapons a lot more.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. By the time I was getting later in the game, I did have decent stats. But just going back to the game not holding your hand, it doesn't even tell you what the inputs for these spells are. I believe you can buy the inputs.
At the library, the librarian does sell the guides, if you will.
See, I went in there and I was looking for some of the spells that I hadn't unlocked and I couldn't actually see them.
Oh, it doesn't sell them all. No, it doesn't sell them all. Just some of them.
Right.
Yeah. So there's 9 spells in total.
Well, I managed to get through the game and I only had 4 unlocked, I think.
Well, you might want to go back because there is an achievement to unlock for all the casting all the spells.
I think on my original save. So just very quickly, although this game originally came out on the PlayStation 1, we are both playing the release on the Xbox 360. Yes. So when we're talking about achievements, that's what we're referring to. My previous save, I did already have all the achievements.
So, ah, right.
I must at some point cheated and looked online at a list of all the inputs.
That's one thing that we have stipulated for our game club.
Oh yeah, we were doing a playthrough, but no looking for guides.
Blind playthrough, if you will.
Yes, well, as blind as it can be for you. Probably could play through it blindfolded. I did have a little bit of help once I'd done my 7th circuit of the castle, forgetting what I was supposed to be doing. Will you give me a little hint?
A little hint. It was only a little hint, though, to be fair. It wasn't a massive hint.
No, it was just go back to the library, and that was it. And although Anthony isn't here, he did start playing it through. And for him, it was the first time he's ever played the game. So, did give him a few hints, and he was whining a little bit about how hard the game was. Thank God he didn't play as Richter or...
One stats.
Yeah, not one for all your stats. Yeah, I don't think he would like that at all.
No. I mean, the first real challenge I come to in that game, particularly more so when you're playing it through with low stats, the doppelganger boss fight.
I must admit, I didn't actually have any issue with that. I just went super aggressive on it because I didn't even have the right sub-weapon to freeze time to hit it. I just kept jump slashing at it. I think my first challenge and when it really hit home what one for every stat meant was the first zombie soldier when he hit me and done about 2/3 of my damage. Now, bear in mind, these are normally one-hit kill enemies, as in you hit them and it's one hit kill on them,
not the other way around.
The tables were definitely turned as I'm like just trying to stop him as he shambles towards me. Just die, please, just die.
Yeah, the challenge definitely is in the early game, because by the time that you get to the end game, the beauty with having the high luck is you get drops quicker because the drop rate is tied to the luck, but it's crits. If you crit, that can instantly end the fight.
Oh yeah, you damage. At the beginning of the game, on those same enemy, I was going from doing like 7 damage to suddenly getting a crit and doing 150 damage.
Yeah, so that can change the fight if you get a lucky crit in. But yeah, it is definitely a challenge way to start. Towards the end, less so.
I think, especially because I was leaning a lot on the spells as quite a crux. I didn't actually have any issues with any of the bosses. Till an optional boss towards the end of the game. I believe it was Gallimoth. I just could not. I couldn't defeat him at all. I did go back after completing the game, seeking vengeance, and I did cheese it with a very cheap combination of items, which basically meant I just stood next to him and he died. one of which was the shield rod.
Yeah, the shield rod is a brilliant, brilliant weapon that can carry you through a big chunk of the game.
I'm actually glad I only remembered about that later on, though, once I'd done the majority of the game and defeated the last boss and completed it. Because it can... I don't know how early you get the shield rod, but...
Really early, actually. You get it in the Colosseum.
Do you? Right. So it would make the game an absolute cakewalk with the right shield equipped.
That shield is usually... I didn't get it on my run through. It didn't drop for me.
The Alucard shield?
No, not the Alucard shield, sorry.
The Medusa shield. Yeah, I didn't get the Medusa shield, and I can't remember the name of it, but there's a very good sword that I didn't get this run through.
The Chrisingam.
Chrisingam, is it? Right, yeah. So I was using the Alucard equipment set, which is what you actually start the game with.
The Alucard shield you don't get till fairly far in. I mean, it's in the inverted castle, after all. So even though you might get the shield a lot earlier, that particular combo won't work until you're quite late in the game. So, if you get the... it might be the Shaman Shield, and I certainly know the Medusa Shield does one. They both have particularly good combos with the Shield Rod.
Medusa Shield, if I remember correctly, can't you just run into enemies and it damages
you? You can, yeah. Though if you use it with the Shield Rod, if I remember rightly, it basically summons a big laser beam on the screen.
Right.
And the Shaman Shield basically buffs your stats.
Right.
A lot.
See, the combination I had was running into enemies done damage, but also healed me and give me hearts back, which is what you use for your sub-weapons.
Yeah. See, I, having played through it a lot, have particular ways I get through each part of the game now, which happens every time that you play a game a lot, I suppose, unless you try and do things different. So when I first cut, I got the Chakrams, which are one of the first weapons you can actually move with while attacking.
See, I never actually ended up with any weapons that I could move and attack with, excluding the shield combination.
Yeah, two Chakrams. So I had one in each hand because you can only throw two at a time. So with two, you can throw four at a time. Mm. So you can literally be walking forward and just constantly throwing this stream of barrage, which works quite well, particularly with how early you can get them. And then in the latter part of the game, I just had the Chrisingam.
to be honest, I did intend to get it because that's one of the few things I could actually still remember from the game. However, considering I got completely lost and ended up doing circuits of the entire map, I couldn't find the library the second time around. I just got completely lost. I knew it, I had all the parts and I was like, final boss.
No, it is Dracula because you beat Shaft and then Dracula appears in the background, has a bit of a conversation, and then you...
Oh, yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. Behold my true power. dialogue in that game.
Yeah.
What is a man? Nothing but a worthless pile of secrets. Yeah.
Well, for the PlayStation era, that was like A+ voice acting.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was for the console. You know, you could imagine it like some sort of award ceremony, and its competition was Resident Evil. Jill, don't open that door.
I mean,
I don't know why. We always get onto bad voice acting, and somehow we always get onto the same two Resident Evil quotes. Jill, don't open that door. And
hey,
thanks,
Jill,
Barry.
Here, you the master of log picking.
I actually wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, thanks, Barry. I was almost there. Jill sandwich.
Oh god, yeah, that other one. I do remember at the time Castlevania getting rave reviews over everything apart from the voice acting being particularly terrible.
Well, I actually think the Xbox version has different voice acting.
Does it?
Than the original PlayStation. I know there's two versions of it, so I'm sure the PlayStation and the Xbox re-release will have it. Although it might be on the PlayStation Portable version that they've got slightly different voice acting, perhaps.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Might be one to go back and have a look and see which one's worse. Yeah. Because I don't think either are good.
Yeah, it is definitely the early era of digital audio in games.
Yeah. It's like, oh, CD audio. I know, we've got to put voices. Oh, should we hire some voice actors? No, don't be silly. Just get the secretary to do it.
That's about right, yeah.
But that pretty much was it.
That is very true. But going back to what you're saying, I actually think if you got the Chrissingham, it would probably spoil the experience for you, knowing what yes. you like with games.
Well, second time round, I say when I went and got my revenge on that boss, I did also beat Dracula again. And the final boss with the shield rod took 2 seconds max.
Again, something that gets panned at the last boss in that game. For how good a game it is and how difficult a game it can be at times, the last boss is a bit of a joke.
Oh, yeah. It felt like a bit of a battle the first time around when I was just using normal equipment. But it's definitely a game that you can very easily break, especially if you know what items. Like, if I played through it again now, I think it took me about 8 hours and I got about 175% completion. That extra 25% was the library that I couldn't find, I'm sure.
I'd have to actually check on what the save file is, but I reckon I'll be around the 2 hour mark with a.
Yeah.
I reckon if I played 70%.
I reckon if I played through it again now, I could get to about the same percentage in definitely half the time.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of my time was
being lost. Yeah. It is one of those games that gets significantly shorter and quicker when you know where you're going and what you're after. One of these days I might even try and speedrun it.
Well, oddly enough, I did look at this and a lot of the speedruns are at like sub 20 minutes low 20 minutes. That's any percent.
I can do that with Richter. Does that count?
Well, I think Richter's, I'm sure that was in like the low teens.
Oh, don't say that.
So, I think my Richter run through, off the top of my head, I can't actually remember how long
it
took me.
I remember your Richter run
through. I think it was a couple of hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember your Richter run through because you kept asking me, where do we need to go? Where do we need to go?
Yeah, that's another one. Just doing circuits of the castle. Yeah. You'd think the amount of times I'd gone around that whole entire castle, I'd actually remember where it was meant to be going.
Possibly. But when I decided to actually complete a playthrough with Richter, I kind of went for a fairly optimum route because I was just literally gunning straight for the achievement. I don't know whether it is the actual optimum route they use, but it got me through it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Sadly, dying too many times.
Well, again, for those who want to play through as Richter, because you can't level up the character, you will only be able to take 3 to 4 hits before getting game over.
Yes.
And unlike Alucard, the main character you would play the game through, he's got no healing skills, has he?
Nope.
And you can't carry items. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Only heal at save points.
Thankfully, though, you do actually have to complete the game with Alucard to be able to play as Richter. So you should have played through it at least once. Just for me personally, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, when it first came out on the 360 and you played through it.
That's the one.
Yeah, I mean, I've even before we decided to go back and play through it for this, I think I've completed it once or twice on the Xbox One when it went on to backwards compatibility.
Right. Well, this is my second time that I've run through the game, or third if you include Richter's run through.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it multiple times on the PlayStation. I did it again through PC emulation, again when it was on the 360, again on when it got to backwards compatibility. I've done it loads.
Yeah.
Yeah, still never managed to get 206% of the map. So 200.6.
200.6%, that's the one. I couldn't even tell you where that extra last 0.6% was.
Hidden rooms. It's all hidden rooms.
But why have a percentage if it goes beyond 100?
Because it's technically 100.3 and 100.3. Because you've got the 0.3 secret rooms in both castles. Really pedantic.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't actually realise I had the full 200.6% because I do remember spending hours, again, going around the castle, looking, hitting every single wall to see if it was a false wall.
There is apparently a bug with that achievement where there are certain places where you need to do a super jump, then turn into a wolf at the apex of your super jump to just nudge enough to get it. And I have jumped everywhere to try and get that last point. And the last thing I'm going to try is literally, there's apparently on the PlayStation, there's glitches you could do to get out of the map to get up to 400%. So I'm literally right, going to have to resort to that.
And just see if the... This is where the where you get out the map and it'll knock you from 200 to 200.1%. And the game goes, nah, didn't get 200.6.
It would be sod's law. It would be sod's law. Absolutely be sod's law.
So, as I say, I enjoyed it. I did find it quite frustrating at bits, but I think a lot of that was because we had this time limit on it, on completing it. And full disclaimer, I only actually finished my run through probably about 4 hours ago as of recording this podcast.
Yeah, I started it a bit late and finished it first, I think.
Yes, you did. And Anthony just didn't even decide to turn up. he must have got humiliated that much by it. But do you think the game overall's aged well?
I'm biased on this because I've played it many times. I think it is a game that has aged incredibly well. Yeah, the dialogue's a bit iffy, but there's modern games...
I think
games...
that adds to the charm a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you've got games like Diablo 3 where the dialogue's iffy as well, and that's a modern game. So, has it aged well? It's nice fluid gameplay. The graphics still hold up very nicely. I even tried playing the original PlayStation version on emulation because I was going to try and record it, but that just didn't go very well. And you know what? Yeah, I think the graphics have held up well. The music is phenomenal. I love the music in that game. Overall, yes. How do you think?
I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it the first time round more just because I didn't actually know a lot of what was coming ahead. Thankfully, I already owned it on the Xbox, so I got to play it on there, but I was hoping to have played the Saturn version just for something a bit different so we could compare it, because they give you an extra character to play through, and I believe there's a few extra rooms and a bit of extra equipment.
Yeah, see, I need to give that a try somehow.
But since I already owned it, and the game is backwards compatible, if you got it, you can play it on the 360, Xbox One, and the new Series S and X. So it's very easy to jump into this game, and I believe it's only like £7 as well for anyone out there who wants to try it. It's definitely worth that £7.
100%. 100%.
For future games, though, I personally feel like in Castlevania, this currently hasn't been beaten for a 2D Castlevania game. Do you think?
There are some that come incredibly close on the DS. Because you've got Harmony of Dissonance, which...
I believe aren't they just like upgrades of the Game Boy Advance versions?
Yeah. So you had a couple that came out in the Game Boy Advance that were generally pretty good. The Aria of Sorrow games, if I remember rightly.
Aria of Sorrow was one. I had that on the Game Boy Advance, I believe.
Thoroughly enjoyed that game. Brilliant game, built on a lot of the basics that Symphony of the Night started, with its own unique twists, like you had souls rather than spells. Was it better? I don't know, but certainly very enjoyable. So there's one on the Game Boy called Order of Ecclesia, the DS, is phenomenal. It's not quite as RPG as the Symphony of the Night style ones. Though it's possibly closer towards its origins. Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard game. Took me a while to complete it. Thoroughly enjoyed that one. Highly recommend it.
See, it's also a game that's set a template for these style of games. So recently there's been Chasm.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. And to be honest, I'd be hard-pressed to tell you which one is my favourite out of the two.
I think I prefer Symphony of the Night. And I think it's just purely because it's got a little bit more depth to it. Like having the spell aspects in there, the transformations in there.
Yeah.
The game as a whole. But Chasm is a brilliant game. It is a brilliant Metroidvania game.
Yeah, definitely. I think Symphony Night has a little bit more depth to it.
Yes.
A little bit more character as well. But I think Chasm has a lot more quality of life improvements over Symphony of the Night, which is to be expected because there was like best part of 25 years between the two of them.
Another one as well from the creators of Symphony of the Night, Bloodstained.
Yeah, that was the other game I was going to say, Bloodstained. Yeah.
Brilliant game. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm actually playing it through again on random mode.
I'm going to have to pick that one up. I only gave it about an hour or two play.
Oh, 100%. I've completed. It's another one I've completed all the way through. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But I do like my Metroidvania games.
Yeah.
It's very close to Symphony of the Night, but like you say on charm, it doesn't quite have the same level of charm. It's good. Music's in it. It's brilliant. I don't know. There's something missing. It's hard to pinpoint what.
That's something I'm surprised you haven't actually brought up already. The music in Castlevania is absolutely superb.
I brought it up near the beginning.
Did you? Oh, right. Because you bring it up so often, I must have just filtered it out then.
No, yeah. I purposefully went back and skipped and didn't go... Well, you can skip it. I purposefully went back and actually went through an area just because my favourite piece of music in the whole of pretty much gaming, The Tragic Prince, is there. And I played through that area, even though I didn't even need to. Didn't need any of the items or anything. I just wanted to play through it.
So, go on. If you were to rate this game now, what would you give it out of 10? Today,
I would probably give it 8.5 to 9 out of 10.
That's very respectable.
It's got its issues. It shows its age. Though overall, it is a phenomenal game. And it is difficult to critique.
I must admit, you say it shows its age. Where do you think it starts showing its age? In terms of like visuals or in terms of like...
It's more...
Like I was saying before, the quality of life improvements that you get in newer games.
It's the quality of life that you get in newer games. It's the voice acting is a big one. Let's be honest. It's got its charm, but you can tell it's an older game from those just little bits there.
I think if you don't look at the game as being completely serious... The voice acting fits in with like it's a bit of like a B movie horror film. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at Resident Evil.
Yeah, I can buy that. I can buy that. You know what? I never thought of it in that way. I can actually buy that. That is a really valid point. The other thing
to me actually adds to the experience.
You know what? I might actually have to replay it just to give it that vibe and see how it fits because you might be right there. The other issue I'd say is. Balance.
So yeah, in terms of balance, it can be a bit, should we say, inconsistent. There's quite a few areas where I'd be walking through a room, I'd be just ripping through all the enemies, go through a doorway, and then just get one-shotted by the next enemy in the other room.
That, or if you don't know where you're going and go down rather than across, and you come across an enemy with a big ball and chain that one-shots you.
Do you know what? That's the exact enemy. and riflemen.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be a bit of a pain. Though I think I can hear some rustling and some grass over there.
Oh, what's that? A wild Anthony has suddenly appeared.
Hi, thanks for that. Great.
Better late than never.
Absolutely.
I know. I do apologise. But, you know, as I jumped in as you were talking about the guy with the ball and chain, and I came across him, and I got battered by him as well.
Yep. You got turned into an Anthony sandwich.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I fell asleep and missed starting recording this. But,
I'd just like, really quickly, I'd just like to point out that we did actually plan this podcast. It's the only podcast we've planned, and we planned it from last month. And he still overslept.
Oh, jumping straight into the game, though. I really enjoyed playing it. I've not finished it, but I need to finish it. But I really enjoyed playing it so far. One thing, and I don't know if you brought up by chance at the minute, is about, you know, getting into the game. This game gives you nothing. You go in there blind.
We have actually brought this up, and we did actually mention how much you were whinging about it.
I wasn't whinging that much about it.
The game does actually give you a lot of prompts of new systems. It's just not very explicit in it.
Yeah.
So there's no like pop up where it's, you know, press A to do this, and doing this will allow you to do that.
Well, like when I got ability to change into a wolf. It doesn't tell you anything at all. You just have to mash the different buttons until you're like, oh, that's easy.
You've got to remember as well, this came out in an age where manuals were still a thing. and all the controls were
that,
in the manual.
That and children weren't complete idiots.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to go though, but yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, I've seen my son. I know kids nowadays are complete idiots.
But yeah, the manual did have the controls in there, and it did tell you how to turn into the individual forms.
Yeah. Well, no, I know I can go into the control menu, see on there, and it tells you the controls on that one.
I was going to say, I think the game does give you some good prompts. They're just not blatant prompts.
Yeah.
Like, one in particular, if you read an item description, it tells you basically where you need to go. There's another part where you get a particular power-up, and in, like, the room before, it gives you an item that literally takes you to the next part you need to go to.
Are you on about the library bit again?
Yes, I am.
That I got stuck on.
So, yeah, it doesn't hold your hand, but it doesn't leave you totally blind.
Mm.
Well, sorry, is that about the key thing you need to get to unlock different doors?
No, it's a part that I was stuck on
for
quite a bit, and I kept overlooking returning to the library because in my head I'd explored every room in the library.
Mm.
Evidently, I hadn't.
And in like the room before where you get a particular power-up that you need to get through a particular part of the library, you get a library card, which returns you to the library.
Yeah.
So you've only played, I reckon you're probably maybe about a quarter of the way through the game?
Roughly, yeah.
Is that it? Flipping it.
So how are you finding it so far, though?
I'm really enjoying it.
I think as well, where you're saying a lot about the game doesn't hold your hand, I think that's something that makes the exploration a bit better. Because I'm always wanting to push forward, see what skill I unlock next, where that skill, by backtracking, can take me to a new area or a new room or even a completely new route around the castle.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, one thing I've had is I've had you and Phil give me sort of different like hints and that, sort of like, oh, maybe try this if you have an issue. And there's the really long staircases to make my way up. And I was fighting through them, and also I'm there going, you know, using my sword sort of thing, getting in close. And you just went, oh, just try this spell. Oh, my days, it makes the biggest difference launching those blue balls, which then doesn't attack someone on the staircase, and you can just walk up easily.
So this is
a massive difference.
This is where me and Barry did something that would have made the game a lot harder. So when we started, we actually put in a code. We mentioned this earlier in the episode. Obviously, Anthony wasn't here for that. So we made ourselves significantly weaker, and I had to heavily rely on magic for the early part of the game.
By heavily, you mean exclusively?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it definitely did change the early game significantly.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we've gave our closing thoughts on it. If the game was to, if you was to rate the game today, what would you give it out of 10? I mean, Barry's not mentioned
yet, on what you've played already.
Yeah,
on what I played, on the fact that, you know, to me it gives a sense of exploration, a sense of new and different things. I have really been enjoying what I've played. Is my bad for not completing it, and I wish I'd given it more time to do it. But if I was to really put it down to, I'm looking at myself like an 8 or 9 out of 10. I actually do really love the game, and I've really started appreciating those sort of styles of games more. But going back to game where, you know, it gives you the difficulty that I kind of do want from games sometimes. Games are sometimes too easy, and playing something like that gives me the frustration that I've been missing in some games, because, you know, in all fairness, who doesn't like a game that gets you frustrated? Because then you're passionate about that game, and this game's been giving it to me.
Not only that, as I mentioned before, there was a boss in the later part of the game that I was just getting absolutely decimated by. Luckily, it was an optional boss, so it wasn't one that I had to do. Unfortunately, I did kill it, but I killed it in a very cheap way, and I didn't get any satisfaction from beating it that way. Whereas some of the other bosses where I had maybe went in, they beat me. Going back and beating them normally, you do get that great sense of satisfaction that you've gone through, you've overcome that challenge.
Yes.
And you've got bloody revenge on them.
This is why some people enjoy Dark Souls.
I agree with you so much there, because, you know, I'm walking into these bosses where I, you know, because I've never played it before, walking into these bosses and getting absolutely battered. You know, and the other night where I finally fought, defeated the Hippogriff. And, you know, getting from the save point to Hippogriff is a long, long way to go.
And I must admit, every time I walked into what was blatantly a boss room, I was like, nope. Straight back out, find the save room.
Well, like, unfortunately with Hippogriff is the save room is after him and the save point was miles away at the bottom of the staircase.
It's definitely a product of its time.
But yeah.
Most of the bosses, once you memorize the patterns,
yes,
are pretty simple to beat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Phil, don't forget, you've played this game before.
I have. It is a fair point.
So, you know, when you came to it, you're like, oh, I know what I'm looking for. Whereas I walked in, I'm like, I have no flipping clue what I'm expecting. But one thing
I had against the hardest boss in the game, you know.
I would like to think that's the hardest boss.
No, it is. It is in pretty much everybody that rates that bosses in that game, that is rated as the hardest.
Hmm. Well, I don't know why, but for some reason, I have an issue doing spells sometimes. You know, even I'm doing it, and sometimes I can do it like 4 or 5 times in a row, and then I won't do it for another 10 times. I'm like, how can I also no longer do what I've just been doing the entire time?
I'm gonna say it comes down to which fighting games you grew up with as a kid.
Yeah, definitely.
Very much Street Fighter inputs. So on closing, we all seem to have enjoyed it quite a bit, or rate it quite highly, and say it has aged particularly well as a game. Yeah. Which brings us to next month's offering, chosen by Barry.
Yeah, let's see if... just really quickly, because I didn't give it a score, I would definitely give this a solid 8 out of 10, just in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
The game that we are playing next is not going to get such a positive reception, I'm sure of it. And we are playing The Immortal.
I strongly believe that we're not all going to complete this game.
Mind you, Barry's the only person who's played this and has given us a really strong opinion.
I played it.
Right. Oh, did you? I didn't know you did. Well,
if we play through, it's not a long game.
Wait, I didn't think you completed it.
No, I watched speedrun. I wanted to see what it was. Anyone who's listened to the podcast previously will probably think, The Immortal, that sounds familiar. So very quickly, I'll go through the history of me and The Immortal.
And the reason Phil, for wanting to torture us.
Yes. Phil rented me The Immortal when I asked for Phantasy Star 4 on the Mega Drive way back in the 90s. The Immortal is possibly one of the worst games I have ever played and one of the games where you die the most, with the exception of games that intentionally troll you. Actually, thinking back about it, I think this might be one of the first trolling games.
You reckon?
Yes, because there's plenty... I haven't played it in a long time, and there's a good reason for that. I do remember an awful lot where if you step on the wrong piece of the floor in the room, it's an instant death.
Oof, this does not sound like it's going to be fun.
As you can tell, Barry has a deep, deep, like...
hatred?
deep hatred that's been put on him by the game in the short 5 minutes he played it.
In all fairness, hatred is actually quite a strong word. Just unfortunately, it's not strong enough.
So yes, Barry has chosen to torture us all with The Immortal.
So throughout February, we will all be playing The Immortal, and we'll come back, we'll give our thoughts and opinions and our score out of 10 at the end of the month. Hopefully Anthony will be on time and have actually completed the game this time.
Thanks.
I don't think all of us are going to complete this game this time.
It'll be quite a reason.
We are going to give it our best shot.
Yes.
So, with that, thank you very much for listening to us. That has been the Retro Gaming Dads Podcast.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say thank you for Anthony turning up 35 minutes late.
Oh, I'm not going to hear the end of that, Mike.
Nope.